Welcome to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. We have our Super Bowl recap this week, episode 120, for those of you who are counting.
Wow, I'm not.
Yeah, big Super Bowl recap here. You're going to get the official breakdown of everything that happened in the game. Some are saying it was the worst Super Bowl ever. Some are saying it was a terrible Super Bowl, and they were left unsatisfied and very upset by the outcome, but they might have known that that was going to happen. Others might be saying this is the greatest Super Bowl ever. So
my tummy was full by the end of the night. I was satisfied with that meal that had been served to me.
It was all over the place. And I mean, just shout out to Bears fans though. Because guess what? They dreamed about this moment. Their dreams came true last night because Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl together. So Bears fans' dreams came true.
I mean, I have played out that scenario trillions of times in my head. I mean, it
might not be on the teams that they dreamed about, but their dreams came true last night. And that's really what we need. The main storyline.
No, and yeah, since Patrick Mahomes has been a starting quarterback, I have thought about him being the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears every single day of my life. It won't end. And I've definitely moved on to the acceptance stage because I just want to appreciate the greatness that's in front of me in Patrick Mahomes. There's always going to be a level of pain, sting, whatever.
Yeah, see, I don't, but and I refuse to appreciate that.
Yeah, and Josh is different. Josh is much more firm in his beliefs. He's not. He doesn't shy away from his morals and his values like me as a beta Bears fan does sometimes. But it really was a great game. I mean, and with the whole Matt Nagy thing, that's the dude. I just have to, as a Bears fan, have to remind people, that's the dude who got Patrick Mahomes onto the Chiefs. He was not impressed with Mitch when he was doing scouting. He was still with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then he went to the Bears, and then he's back with Kansas City. So congrats to Matt Nagy. Good guy. He is a good guy. I've peed directly next to him, right directly next to him. I said, hi, coach. He said, hey, how's it going? And we talked about baseball for a second. And I didn't even ask him for a picture because we were in the men's room. So,
and because he sucks.
And I didn't look at his pee-pee either. So we kept it civil.
So let's get into the game.
Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs. I don't think I saw the people saying it was a bad game. Maybe that's just a Josh thought because it was an excellent game for the most part. So the game did suck. It was a Josh thought. Can't confirm. That was definitely coming from the brain
like everything
of Josh
that happened,
Porter.
If you replaced the laundry that the two teams were wearing and like cast Patrick Mahomes out, great. Great game. Unbelievable game.
So the quality of football was excellent. It sounds like
Let me watch that back. Everything except for the halftime show, let me watch it in grayscale, and I bet I can be happy.
And you can watch that halftime show in any scale and be very happy. We're going to talk about the halftime show.
Yeah, we will.
And commercials after the game. So let's get into the game itself. Back and forth a little bit, but the Eagles had control most of the first half there, really all of the first half. The Chiefs did tie it at one point, but going into the second half, the Eagles are up 10, and nobody thought the game was over because you're playing the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, but it did feel a little bit different than all of those other comebacks that they make in that the team they're playing is a legit, like, very good team. What's the correction?
Can I correct you?
You can correction me, yeah, absolutely.
Everyone in Philadelphia thought the game was over.
Yeah.
Everyone in Philadelphia
did. That's true. Absolutely.
So, I'm just going to say, I need to throw that one out there.
Josh.
Everyone in Philadelphia.
What? Yeah, what, are we changing the name up all of a sudden?
Well, they've been to 3 championships and they haven't won one, and they were calling themselves the City of Champions prior to this game. So
I just thought that they were still Philadelphia.
Well,
they were still Philadelphia.
They are. They're still Philadelphia, okay. But they're also Fraudadelphia.
In the off season, they'll be Philadelphia.
They're frauds. They're frauds.
They're currently frauds, but
the city's a fraud.
350 days a year, they're filth. The other 15, they're frauds.
Well, I'm just like, okay. I don't know. I was getting fraud alerts on my phone every time I saw an Eagles fan tweet.
No, that's true. I'll always wait for the score to go final. And honestly, Philly fans, you should have learned your lesson from the World Series going up 2-0.
They were idiots.
Because you were running laps then, too. So, back to the game. We got a Kelsey stanky leg touchdown celebration. That was pretty cool.
That was good.
Jalen, it was great quarterback play on both sides. Jalen Hurts was phenomenal outside of that big fumble scoop and score by KC, Nick Bolton. But Mahomes, I mean, he didn't need to pass the ball at a crazy high volume. It's just like going into this game, I remember my thoughts were Kansas City has the best player. But and Travis Kelce, Chris Jones are also up there.
Yeah.
But like team wise, if you're looking at like the top 10 players in this game, I'd say more of those players fall on the Eagles. And if you're looking at the top 20 players in this game, I'd say even like it's even more of a disparity. But I mean, the Kansas City, you kind of didn't realize like how well they did fill out this roster. Especially following a big trade like Tyreek Hill, like Pacheco as a rookie, a 7th-round rookie, was super noticeable. He was great on Sunday. I mean, a lot of players. Nick Bolton, obviously, with the big scoop and score. Patrick Mahomes threw for under 200 yards, so a lot of players were stepping up, and it was really like I thought going into the game, like Eagles are better team, but Patrick Mahomes is the best player, so we'll see. Like. Kansas City was the better team as well. They dominated the Eagles. I mean, both teams were great offensively, but when the team desperately needed to stop and like momentum started to change, the Chiefs defense dug their heels in and they got those stops and allowed like in the blink of an eye, the Chiefs go from losing to up 8, and we see that all the time. But in the Super Bowl, it's like they still do the same stuff, like even on the highest stage. It's insane. So I was really impressed by just an overall team victory by the Chiefs, which I was not really expecting. I called my Super Bowl MVP. It was a pretty easy one to call. But basically everything that we predicted for this game was right, Josh. We're looking really smart.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, just going back to like the whole thing. Oh, just a second. Like Philadelphia, I mean – They were all sitting there. They're all acting like they've won something. They haven't won anything. They're all acting like they've won something. They need to learn from Vancouver that, hey, guess what, man? You don't celebrate championships till you've actually won them. Like, that would be a sick idea, maybe. Maybe try that. Maybe try not celebrating till you've actually won something. But I was listening to the radio. I actually listen to a lot of sports talk radio. I really like it. But I was listening to it on Sunday morning while I was driving around town trying to get my mind right for the big game. And there's a guy that, it wasn't Mad Dog Chris Russo, but it was on Mad Dog Sports Radio. And he was just basically like, I mean, don't you think that the Chiefs are going to come out and just like try and dominate because they have been told that they won't win? Like, they've been told that they don't have a good offense. And, like, so he's like, I don't know. Like, I'm on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to come out. I think they're going to play a really good team game. Like, Mahomes, and he encouraged people to call in. And, like, people were like, yeah, like, and like, one Chiefs fan was like, yeah, we're getting disrespected. Like, we're just kind of doing our thing. This O-line got no respect. The Chiefs O-line got zero respect whatsoever. It was all about Philly.
They
defense.
Were phenomenal. You could have given the MVP to their offensive line.
I thought you should have. I really thought they should have.
That, yeah, it's the best defensive line in, like, one of the most historic defensive lines in NFL history they're going up against, and they didn't let Patrick Mahomes get touched at all.
And it was and then this guy calls in, this Philadelphia fan calls in, and he's like you're an idiot. And what I wish I could remember his name, but what he cited was, he goes, okay, Philadelphia has a great defense, but Dallas put up a ton of points on them. The Lions put up a ton of points on them. Like, they've been exposed. So, like, what is – anytime they've played an offense that's semi-similar to the Chiefs' offense, they've gotten exposed and a lot of points have cut. This guy calls in. He's like, Patrick Mahomes is going to do nothing. We'll give him the – he's like, we'll shut down Kelsey. We're a better defense. We'll give Patrick Mahomes the easy completions. Like, we'll just give them that. They're not going to beat us over the top. They're not going to score more than 24 points on our defense. We have the best defense. We've already won the Super Bowl. Like, they genuinely, like, that was the mindset. And the Chiefs took it personally. And I do, like, again, I can't stand that the Chiefs won. I really don't, like, I would have hated if either of these teams won. So it sucked that one had to. But, like, you know that the, like, I like, the Chiefs, I just don't like them, you know, being around, being great. It drives me crazy when there's one team that just is always really, really good, and I thought I was rid of that finally. But, like,
yeah,
it still is fun, though, to watch a team just, like, come out, and they're like, see, they never panicked. They never abandoned their gameplay. They made the right adjustments when they had to. But, yeah, you take what's there. You don't hurt yourself. Other than the doink was, oh my god, that could have been brutal. It won one of my friends
to hear.
It won one of my friends $50 though. So
there you go.
That was a clutch doink in that sense.
Josh, I'm glad you brought up, just like, you don't really like. I mean, this is. I understand, like, you being a little bit more upset about this game than me, because your team's in the AFC. Like, you just got Tom Brady out of there. Patrick Mahomes and that Andy Reid combination. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is taking up 17% of the Chiefs cap space. Like, his new contract is fully kicked in. He's making buco bucks right now. And the Chiefs just won a Super Bowl. As the salary cap continues to rise, which it does every year, that contract is just going to be more and more team friendly. And they got that guy locked down for a decade and a half. You could definitely foresee, as, like, an AFC fan, like, oh, excitement with the Bills, like, we got Josh Allen. Excitement with the Bengals, we got Joe Burrow. And even the Steelers, like, Kenny Pickett had a fine rookie year. There's a lot to build off of from that. But, like, you just look at the AFC and it's just like, gosh darn it. Like, there's still this dude who's, like, clearly head and shoulders better than everybody else. And he's got a great head coach paired with him, and he's got his tight end just like the other guy I had, who is like that's the biggest mismatch you can have is having an elite tight end in football.
The only place I have any hope is that I think Andy Reid might be coming to the end of his career here in the next few years. Like,
yeah,
I think
Belichick's success without Tom Brady compared to, with him. So you can obviously say the quarterback makes the bigger difference. I think, like, both are very important, but I'd rather have the quarterback than the head coach.
Yeah. No, 100%. And I do think, like,
which
people discount Andy Reid. I think people do, to some extent, discount Andy Reid at times just because of the way that he, like,
he's going to be
a goofball. Like,
he's probably going to be he's a top five coach in NFL history.
Yeah,
like, now that he has his second Super Bowl, I would put him in my top five. Not everybody has him there, but he should be in everyone's top 10. And by the time he retires, I'm assuming he's going to be in most people's top five. Like,
there's
not a lot of guys with the championships and the wins like Andy Reid has.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach. Kansas City, they deserved it. I mean, just kudos to them, because now we've had, in college football and in the NFL, going into the year, the two best teams, the two teams that everyone thought, like, was the best team, won their championships, and both of those teams managed to play the underdog card as well, which is
they both thought they were going to finish 5-7.
Yeah,
the Chiefs they were going to finish 5-7. They thought they weren't going to play the last five games. Even
it is a feat that is very impressive that they, you know,
that's coaching.
Kelce comes out and he's like, everyone discounted us, which they did for the Eagles, and it was a crazy game. It really was.
Yeah,
and we should talk about the ending, but
yeah, well, I want to talk about one other play before we talk about the huge call, which will. Well, it's the hold, just so everybody knows.
At the end of the
first half, there is that play down the sideline to Devontae Smith, originally ruled a catch. And I think that's a 4-point difference, because the Eagles, they could have definitely scored a touchdown there. They settled for a field goal on that drive. I think it could have been a touchdown. Really big play. The call was overturned on the field. It was I don't know why people are still complaining about that. Them overturn that call.
Because they're idiots.
Like, they're saying he got 3 feet, and he never had possession with 3 feet. So it doesn't make sense. It was the right call.
What I love is people don't actually understand the rules of football when they complain about these things.
No, you're so right. You're so right. Because every time they bring on, like, Gene Steratore or whoever, the rules expert, they're running through this stuff, and 99.999% of the time, like, I don't need them. I know what's up. But I know not everybody watches as much football as me, especially if you're watching the Super Bowl. You bring in a lot of new fans. But, like, I mean, I forgot where I was going with that. I don't know. I don't need a rules expert.
Rules thinks they know the rules. They don't know the rules, and we don't need the rules experts. But, yeah, this was a huge game. For people that want to blame the officiating, huge game for Roger Goodell's comment. It is very important to note his comment before the Super Bowl.
With that play on the sideline, I just wanted to get in. I forgot to get into the part that I meant to get into, was Nick Sirianni. I really want to talk about him because I'm so happy that that guy specifically lost a Super Bowl. I'm very happy Nick Sirianni alone, and no other member of the Eagles I care about as much as Nick Sirianni. I'm happy Nick Sirianni lost that Super Bowl, sincerely, because that dude has been a dick all season to many opposing fans, even fans of his own at times, and he has just rubbed me the wrong way all year. And then finally, on that Devontae Smith catch, where the Kansas City Chiefs, their whole defense moves back to where the line of scrimmage was because they thought the call was going to get overturned. And then for some reason, there's like this air in the stadium where everybody starts thinking, oh, the Chiefs moved too early. They're going to have to move back. And Nick Sirianni starts making fun of the Chiefs defense. And you see Jalen Hurts, who's standing right next to him, the quarterback on his team, tell him to stop. He puts his hand down. And he says, dude, stop. Like, your quarterback is more mature than your head coach. That's bad. That's a bad situation to be in.
Yeah.
Like, it's great to have a mature quarterback. Jalen Hurts, awesome. And I cannot say enough good things about Jalen Hurts after that football game, because he really did impress me. But Nick Sirianni did not. Like, you need to be the leader in that locker room as the head coach. And you're getting talked down to by your quarterback. That's embarrassing. And that's when I knew that the script completely flipped, because – he was wrong. The Chiefs defense didn't need to move. And, like, the luck had just run out with this guy. His cockiness, everything. That was just the very, like, the most obvious example of karma I think I've ever seen. Like, all his antics throughout the season, just to lose it all at the biggest stage. And also get embarrassed a little bit with your antics on the biggest stage. So I was very happy about that. And, yeah, I hope you were as well, Josh.
No, I do agree. I do. Like, I don't want people to get the wrong impression here. I thoroughly loved watching Philadelphia go through all of this pain and this agony. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, this is still the city that put pictures of my childhood idol in urinals and peed on them. This is still the city that, like,
That's just good old-fashioned comedy, though, right there.
Still the city that cheered when a guy got all of his teeth knocked out in a game. It's just – it's a trash city, It is. It is. It's a really disgusting place to be. City of losers. Filthy? They have, yeah, they're filthy. They have no it's clutch gene. They have no clutch gene whatsoever. And they just want to sit here and blame the refs, even though their own player came out after this game and said, yeah, I held him. I didn't think it was going to get called. Like, I don't know. He might die. Yeah. Is he still alive? We don't know. He might have been murdered.
I was shocked. That was so funny. So he had how much money? Like, even like big on James Bradberry because he did not. I thought it was the right call. It sucks that such a great football game ended on that call. If you look at it, and what I don't like happening right now is if you go on Twitter, you cannot find a video of just like the play itself. You find a video of it going of the normal play, and then as soon as the hold happens, it all goes to slow motion, so it looks like an obvious hold. That feels like revisionist history right there to me. So I don't necessarily like that. Still think it was the right call. James Bradberry had to get a bag from the NFL to say, yeah, it was the right call, right?
Yeah, or,
maybe just not a sore loser. Good for him. He definitely
got the bag. And also, like, what I want to point out on that and the video and everything, what people don't realize and why people like are like, oh my God, that's such a bad call, is no one realizes the rules on holding. Because the case is the ball was uncatchable. The ball was uncatchable. They didn't call pass interference. The doesn't uncatchable thing holding. Is a pass interference rule, and it's not the holding. So like originally, like as a football fan, I was at a Super Bowl like watch party, so I couldn't hear very well. We were having conversation.
Clean invite, Josh.
Yeah, you're welcome. We were all like having conversations, and so I look up and I'm like, oh my God, they just called pass interference there. That's a terrible call. Like the Eagles did just get screwed. And then you realize, oh wait, no, that's a hold. Yeah, that's the right call. Maybe they did let those go. And what didn't make sense is that they didn't like, they did tackle the Eagles tackled Juju in the first half and they didn't call anything. So like, it was kind of an identical play. It kind of felt like one of those where yes, by the rule book, that's a penalty. But do you actually have to call it in that moment? Maybe not. Maybe you could let it slide. I personally am of the belief that it didn't change the outcome of the game, though. I don't think there was any chance that the Eagles come back and win that game. I don't.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. And then Eagles fans, I mean, they'll say that they would have. But it, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Because the game's over. You guys lost.
No, because they're losers.
And also, I would have loved a different – I wanted the front view camera angle of that play as well because I don't know if the hold was necessarily called on that backside left hand, him kind of grabbing him just a little bit. I think it was at the front where he broke off on that route and Juju made his move. I think it was his right hand that held him, and we never could see that right hand. And I think it probably – I don't know if they should have a good camera angle of everything in the Super Bowl, but maybe they just didn't have a good view of the right side.
Sometimes
the front side that happens. Maybe it didn't look egregious, and that's why they won't release it, or maybe it really was on the left hand. But I thought the right hand definitely looked like it could have been grabbing him too. So I really was not too butthurt by that call.
No, neither was I. And I just do need to talk about now. And we can kind of come back, wrap up the Super Bowl as a whole. So I'm going to skip ahead after the trophy presentation, all of that, whatever. I'm now back home. I need to go to sleep. So I decided to put on some white trash noise. And I found the Eagles radio network, the post game. And oh my God.
Some people fall asleep to white noise, Josh. It just adds a little bit extra.
I fall asleep to white trash. And, like, these Eagles radio announcers were so butthurt over this entire thing. They were, like, they were crying over this call. And then they spent about 15 minutes blaming the turf They were like, yeah, it was just such a significant disadvantage to the Eagles because their players couldn't get a grip when they were running.
Because the Chiefs players didn't play on that same turf.
Yeah, I'm like, because Pacheco does it. And then the one guy at the end goes, I mean, I get the argument that they both play on the same turf, but the Eagles guys are just way more agile and they cut more than the Chiefs players. So it's just not even fair. And then
Josh. Those radio guys are right, because that's why Andy Reid is really the greatest coach ever, because it's attention to detail. He told every player exactly which blade of grass to step on and which one not to, because they clearly had some sort of competitive advantage when it came to the turf.
And it was like, and so they were complaining about that. They complained about the call. I don't know if he had come out and said that he held him when I was listening to this part. But they were complaining about that. And then they started taking calls. And two radio people, these people who get paid to be like, you know, radio hosts are screaming.
Oh, is that what radio people are?
They're screaming insults. Screaming insults at these Eagles fans that are calling in. And they're just getting into arguments with every Eagles fan that calls into this thing. I mean, it was literally one of the greatest things I've ever listened to. And I mean, yeah, I'm a little screwed up for loving that, but hey, it was a great time.
We all got our own kinks. Everybody does. Some people like seeing their boyfriend beat people up. So everybody's got their own kink. You like listening to Eagles fans cry. Your kink.
They were so mad. They were so mad the entire time. They're losers.
I mean, and Josh, brought up that Matt Nagy is a Super Bowl champion. I do have to inform you that Juju Smith-Schuster is also a Super Bowl champion. Did you see that video of Patrick Mahomes? I think he's with the Amazon crew, like doing an interview after the Super Bowl. And just perfectly timed, Jackson Mahomes pops up right behind him.
Yes.
Takes up the entire background, does like 3 seconds worth of TikTok dances, and then just disappears into nowhere. And it was it was the most beautiful Jackson. Like, I forgot he existed for a second. I'm like, oh, he's going to be back on his ish
in
no time.
I really would love to know what Patrick Mahomes did. I want to know what he did and how he shut up his wife and Jackson for the entire year. It's more impressive to me that his brother didn't do anything.
That's GOAT behavior right there.
Like, I'm more impressed by Patrick Mahomes for shutting up his brother and his wife for an entire football season than I am by anything he has done on the field or will ever do on the field.
100% I agree with you, and I am also very impressed by stuff he does on the field. That is one of the greatest feats in mankind. Like, bigger than the moon landing is getting Jackson Mahomes off of TikTok for 6 months. Big ups to Patrick Mahomes. That's why when it's all said and done, he might end up being the GOAT when he hangs him up, because he could shut up his brother. His wife. doesn't sound as good, but did do that. Had to be a really awkward conversation with them. What do you think that was like? Especially with the missus. That had to be probably with his wife is like, hey, maybe just don't hang out with my brother. He gets you feeling some sort of way. And also don't spray champagne on.
Maybe he got them on separate suites. Maybe he just bought two suites, so they never had to sit together.
And then maybe for Jackson, it was just like, I will cut you off financially. And he's like, oh, straighten up.
It's so bad. So bad.
Any other game notes you want to talk about? Because we got to talk about this halftime show, buddy.
Let me check my notes here. No actual game notes. Halftime. Wow.
I mean, glowing. Rihanna, beautiful. Beautiful. Her little baby bump, I mean, was it just added to the spectacle. Baby's vibing in the womb. I'm just saying she was glowing.
I know, but
glowing.
like
Is anything that I said bad? Is anything that
I said
bad?
No, I'm just saying, be careful. I know, amazing.
I know. I will do something. We're just going to stop there. We're going to stop there on the glowingness.
No, Rihanna, I think Rihanna might have actually had one of the best halftime shows. Because
top three, right?
There's always recency bias. Like, we're going to keep saying this for the next 6 years that this was super great.
Josh, who is your top three?
I don't even know. I loved Prince. I don't really remember Prince that well, but like,
I got Prince is one. In terms of his musical talent, he's one.
He's so good. I really
Michael Jackson
last
obviously
year.
Has to be up there.
Yeah,
but
I
yeah,
liked
last
last
year,
year's a lot. Like
Shakira.
Shakira was good. Like, it is all recency bias, but what stood out to me about this one over the other ones is that, like, it was kind of boring in the sense that she didn't rely on, like, a bunch of gimmicks and pyrotechnics and stuff. Like, the focus.
And I love
just,
that.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying boring in a bad way. I'm just saying it was.
No, yeah, was, I'm like, sorry. I did not let you get there.
No. She was just like, she's Rihanna. She knows she knows who she is. She knows she's got them. Like, she knows she's captivated everyone. Probably part of this is the fact that she's pregnant. She didn't want to run around as much, more than likely. But, like, she was just Rihanna, and she just did her
but
thing.
Also,
and she was,
like,
amazing.
I was having – I had some friends text me, like, when Run This Town came on, and they were like, you know – Rihanna, great, but man, if Jay-Z came in there at any point, that would have been sick. I'm like, that's disrespectful to Rihanna, okay? She crushed it on her own. She didn't need any assistance from anyone. And just like going through that show, I was like, this, it better start off with Disturbia, better feature Ponder Replay. Neither of those songs were played. And I was still not disappointed at all because I did not realize. Her discography is insane. She banger after banger after banger. It like I knew all the songs. She played the Sticks and Stones one for like a second and didn't even sing it. But like that popped in and I know them all. They were all excellent. I could still vibe to all those songs. I was bouncing during that halftime show. It was excellent.
It was really really good. She did a great job. I convinced myself Kanye was going to come out during all of the lights.
No, he was not.
I did.
The NFL, oh my God. obviously, we were all hoping that would happen. Whether you liked the guy or not, we wanted it to happen.
You go two songs that Kanye's featured on back to back and he doesn't come out. Are you kidding?
When Run This Town came on, I was like, there's a chance. It's not going to happen, but there's definitely a chance. And it didn't happen. But I think the fact that they featured songs that he is featured on means that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he does make an appearance at some Super Bowl. This fresh off of saying Hitler's not that bad, maybe not, but... The NFL really, they don't care what you do. They've let murderers play in the league. So
yeah, people forget about Aaron Hernandez.
People don't forget about that, but that's exactly the point. Is none of us have forgotten about that.
Ray Lewis,
and they still played in the NFL for a while.
OJ Simpson. Oh my goodness!
I mean, Ray Lewis
he did. Oh, did you? Watch?
Ray Lewis put up a Hall of Fame career. After he murdered someone and was convicted of it. Like not only did he murder someone, he put up the best years of his career post-murder.
Did you watch OJ Simpson's video? He had a 3-minute video before the Super Bowl just talking about everything. And
tell me he was there. Tell me he was there in person.
He wasn't there. He was just on the couch. He goes, "Hey guys, yours truly."
Was it O.J. Mahomes? Was it O.J. Mahomes again?
Yes.
Yes. I love O.J. Mahomes.
And he goes on this whole big rant, and he's like, he goes, either...
O.J. Mahomes is going to tarnish Pat's legacy forever.
He goes, either way, like, it's... He was like, Either way, it's going to be the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And people are like, Mahomes has a Super Bowl.
Also, no, dude. He turned it into
people forget how many great players, including myself, never won a Super Bowl. Like, he had to
throw himself in there. No, what another thing I forgot to mention is I loved, like, it really cool. Hey, first Super Bowl ever where we have two black quarterbacks going up against each other. And what I thought was great with that is, like, that's amazing. That's cool in and of itself. That's really all that needs to be said about it, I feel like, because it's that significant of a statement. And the NFL could not figure out that's enough. Like, hey, that's awesome. They were like, and wow, crazy that it's happening on February 12th, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And then they're like, and remember slaves? And they would have been doing that instead. And it's like, okay, NFL, like, maybe we could have just stopped at, like, hey, first time ever. But no.
Yeah, no.
NFL trying to add too much context.
NFL
sucks. NFL rigged. But, other thoughts on the halftime show, Josh. What'd you have there? Besides, we went with OJ and slavery, so we got out of hand.
Mario Bros, that was sick.
Yeah, then, it was definitely platforms.
What
were those things hanging from? That looks scary.
Cables. Yeah, they were all strapped on too.
But if I'm a pregnant lady on that, I would be terrified.
She was strapped. Like she was tethered onto that.
Oh, okay. We're good.
So,
yeah, protect Rihanna. Also, I did not realize how much I was in love with Rihanna until she came on my TV screen.
You and all of America.
I knew it, but I forgot because
you and all of America. I mean, my last thing, and it goes back to where we started on, like, ranking the halftime show, is it quite literally broke Twitter. Everyone, for a moment in time, right after, the second it ended and the Apple Music thing popped up, everyone, like, all 20 of us in the room get on Twitter to, like, confirm whether or not she's pregnant, and no one's tweets loaded for, like, 2 minutes. So it was a very small time that it actually broke Twitter and no one's tweets loaded. If you tried to refresh it, like you could get, if you had tweet, you could send tweets and you could see like a notification for a tweet pop up, but like you couldn't refresh your Twitter feed for a brief second. And then the best part was right after that, they cut to a video of Elon Musk, like a live shot of Elon Musk, which was so funny to me.
What a great badass way to announce you're pregnant to the world.
It was awesome.
I'm gonna crush this halftime show with a baby bump. Very impressive.
That was pretty cool. That's really all I got on Rihanna and halftime. Now let's get into the commercials, which I'm gonna say it. Commercials are way overhyped for the Super Bowl now. They don't.
No, you were right.
They suck. They're not as good as they used to be.
This was my prediction that was wrong because I was right about the national anthem. We had years of overs, and I told you it was going to be the year of correction. It was going to be the under. You should have taken it. I hope you guys took the under because the under hit. With the commercials, I was 100% wrong. Josh, you were 100% right. I hope you remember this moment because you were. And they were disappointing. There was, you know, there's a good one or two every year. We can admit to that, but it's not banger after banger like it used to be. I think we've been too far away from the years of really good commercial making. I'm concerned we're never going to get back to it. I think my prediction was out of wishful thinking because I think we may never get back to that point again.
Here's my thing. I think that one of the big issues is it's too expensive to advertise. So now you don't have these smaller businesses that don't really care as much. Just taking and doing something absolutely absurd. But
yeah. And all these people, like the Super Bowl used to be this place. It's like, hey, we're going to do this big epic commercial or we're going to start this brand new campaign that we're doing, or it's going to be the finale of this campaign. We've been doing this entire football season. Now it's like they I've already seen these commercials that they're showing. Mm-hmm. They're nothing. They're not new commercials. They're not Super Bowl commercials. This is like the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl of advertising. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's bring your A game for that. Don't show me something that I've been seeing 17 weeks in a row already.
Yeah, it was tough, but okay. What was your favorite commercial?
So my favorite one, and it should be yours if we're going to be honest. It was the Crown Royal commercial. It was the Thank You Canada commercial. I thought that was great. It was acknowledging all the good things that Canada's provided us. It helps that they have Dave Grohl as the spokesperson.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Dave Grohl? Mm-hmm. Up there, like, I mean, put him with Rihanna. Most likable people in America right now. I love that guy. Everybody loves Dave Grohl. So they said, mentioned, hey, Canada's done this, this, and that. Canada brought us football, too. Very nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you got, 6-12 on that commercial, right?
You're welcome.
That was nice.
It was. That's not my favorite commercial, though.
Okay. Let me look through mine. Obviously, I love that there. I don't love that there's a movie around based off of Phil Knight, but I do love that it's based off of Phil Knight and Michael Jordan, like the star of Nike. That's going to be a movie that I'll watch. The Bradley Cooper commercial. I thought Bradley Cooper looked rough in that commercial. Didn't like it. Didn't like his mom either. His mom had a Play-Doh face. I thought it was very mushed together. So, and then Danny Noonan made an appearance in that Michelob commercial, the Caddyshack remake commercial. They had been showing that commercial for a little bit, but I don't know if Danny Noonan was ever in the commercial that they had been showing already. I don't remember that, but he was in that commercial, so I was excited about that. The Binky Dad, I liked that commercial. I'm behind Binky Dad. He's a hero. That's what I have right now. I'm sure I did not guess your favorite commercial. What was your favorite commercial?
Well, you know, the best commercial was the He Gets Us Jesus commercials. Because Jesus took out some significant ad time. So I'm just saying, like, you know,
real winner of the Super Bowl is Jesus Christ, in my opinion.
So tell him way to bury that one way down there. I did think they started out strong with the commercials, though, because I did love the Caddyshack commercial until Tony Romo came on my screen. Then I wanted to vomit. But I loved the Caddyshack commercials. I heard the Caddyshack commercial. It was really tasteful.
Great song.
I also loved Kenny Loggins. And then I also loved that they brought back the E-Trade babies. And so I thought that it was going to be like those two started out really early. I thought we were going to have a good commercial possibly. No, I'm very disappointed in Coors Light and Miller Lite. They promoted this huge battle and then it was just a Blue Moon commercial, which was weird. And then my final thing is Tubi TV, go to jail. Tubi TV needs to go to jail.
Go to jail.
Jail for Prison. Tubi TV. They are locked up forever. How do you revoke their license? Because that was the meanest thing they could ever do. In the middle of the biggest game, they have a commercial. And you all should know what I'm talking about. The Tubi TV commercial. If you know, you know. I'm not even going to explain it. I'm not even going to explain it because if you know, you know.
I restarted my TV. I don't even have the TV compatibility whatever format they were showing. It was like some Samsung TV. I have a Roku. So it didn't even make sense. But I thought my TV was freaking out, so I restarted my TV in the middle of the Super Bowl because of you. You idiots! How dare you? How
dare awful. You? That was there was zero taste, no
what?
Taste.
What Tubi? I've never even heard, you know how I've heard of Tubi? Tubi TV is it's the streaming app that I always go over. To go to HBO Max. I've never once clicked on that app, but for some reason, it's pre-downloaded onto my Roku. I will now delete it from my Roku, and I hope your company goes bankrupt. Sincerely.
That was yeah.
That was the worst. We're an anti-Tubi TV podcast. We haven't come out as anti or pro anything in a while. Can we come out as anti-Tubi TV?
Yep.
And I won't even list all the other things that were anti because that always turns into something.
Anti-Tubi TV.
Anti-Tubi TV.
And that was your Super Bowl commercial talk.
Yeah.
I'm sure we forgot one or two. But
we definitely forgot a couple. The big ones, Tubi. We had Disney Plus had a commercial where it's like, this is completely how they've baited me into getting Disney Plus. I totally realize it because their advertising with Disney is just epic because of all the money they have. Mm-hmm. And like they're showing their commercial. I have not watched my Disney Plus streaming service. Yeah, I'm still subscribed to it in maybe over a year.
Yeah.
And it was like they were playing like all the like Star Wars and everything and then like classic Disney movies. I'm like, they played Mary Poppins and it's got me wanting to go back and rewatch Mary Poppins. I've never wanted to watch Mary Poppins once in my entire life. And it makes me want to rewatch that movie because just the nostalgia they had. I don't know what they do with that commercial, but I totally understand why Disney Plus was crazy for a second there.
They did a really good job. So big ups to them. Let's switch gears now. Let's get out of football. Football is done. I think it's 207 more days till the NFL kicks off, though, for those of you keeping track at home. And don't worry, I'm going to get fully into the Steelers at some point in the future.
Dude, it's mock draft season now. Bears have the number one pick.
Yeah, I don't believe in mock drafts, but
Wait till your team has the number one pick, my friend. So, hopefully that never happens to you, but
yeah,
we'll get into it.
I think I'll be dead if that ever happens to me. But anyway, we did have the trade deadline in the NBA creep up. The NHL trade deadline's coming up, so don't worry. We'll get those full reactions. I'm not going to go into hockey this week. it's not a good time. We'll give the full hockey breakdown once we get going here. But let's get into the NBA. Yeah, Kellen.
That was just me. I think the Penguins lost 5-0, so that was just me signaling 5-0 right there. Oh, 6-0. Sorry. My bad. I apologize.
They got murdered. That game should be under protest. The game's under protest anyway, because you can't delay a game for 45 minutes to retire a number. That's pathetic. But anyway, not talking about hockey. I said I wasn't talking about hockey. Let's talk about the NBA trade deadline, the big trades. And, like, I don't watch the NBA. I'm very vocal about not watching the NBA, the NBA being a complete and utter joke. Sick league, by the way. But, like, I do love drama. It's something that I can't, like, not love it in any way, shape, or form. You give me some drama, you give me some storylines, I'm here for it. So, Kellen, you'll be able to give a more in-depth breakdown of all of this stuff, but I just love when one side is very upset on Twitter, the other side's not very upset or very happy, and no one can agree on anything, and it's pure chaos. I love that side of Twitter. I got it from the NBA trade deadline. So to me, I'm looking at this as it was a success, and it was a great trade deadline. So now you can give the full breakdown of actually what people really think.
It was absolutely a success for the NBA because at the end of the day, the NBA is a storyline league that they care about storylines more than they care about championships at this point. And it was really pretty evident in the way that the trades were happening as well because obviously the biggest trade that happened right before the deadline, we talked about Kyrie last week, but that led to the domino of Kevin Durant getting traded to the Phoenix Suns now. And they have a very formidable roster, mm-hmm. which they already had. They do lose, you know, Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges go back to Brooklyn. Those are two really nice pieces to pick up in that deal, along with three first round picks. But I mean, hey, or I think it was four first round picks actually. But hey, those first round picks could be number 30, because the Suns are going to be very good. They have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. That's a good three-headed monster right there. I know Paul hasn't had the best season, but he's turned it on lately. If he can stay healthy, which is the biggest if of his entire career, I think the Suns are title favorites. The East was looking like the better conference, and then all of a sudden, all this talent just got shifted to the West. The Lakers made some good deals. A lot of teams, I mean, just got better on the fringes, but got significantly better on the fringes too. The Kevin Durant trade is really what I want to talk about, just because of this whole dynamic shift that we're seeing in the NBA right now. I don't remember exactly what trade started it. I think it was the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers, where the Pelicans just got back a million first-round picks. And now it's like the first-round picks are just currency in the NBA now. And I don't know what every team is planning on doing with them, but I do know that there's a lot of teams acquiring those first-round picks right now. The Jazz, the Pelicans, the Thunder, they're great examples of that, in that they just – and the Spurs as well. It seems like they have a million for the next 7 years or so. And not all those teams are going to be good. So what I hate about the NBA is every fan base has been sold a bill of goods of, hey, if we go through a rebuild, we will be good because trust the process. That's what Philly did. And Philly also has zero championships to show for it.
Yeah.
So teams just pushed back their contention window to suck for a couple years to get high first round picks. Only one of these teams is going to end up with Wembanyama. So I do like what teams like the Thunder and Pelicans are doing as smaller market teams, where they're like, these first-round picks that we just acquired are all going to be at the end of the first round. You're not going to find superstars in those picks. Like, you find a couple diamonds in the rough. Draymond's a second-round pick. Giannis was picked 13, but Jimmy Butler's picked 30. How many examples do you find before you start running out? Like, the superstars, they come at the beginning of the draft. So eventually you're going to have to do something with those first round picks. What these teams are deciding to do now is acquire superstars with first round picks. And right now it's big market teams or contenders right now, like the Suns or the Lakers did a couple years ago. The Clippers did it when they got Paul George. It's these big teams that are contending right now. So now you go to a team like the Pelicans, which is, they're currently good. They're a playoff team this year. They're going to make the playoffs. If Zion's healthy, they might even make a run in the playoffs, but that's a big if as well. So you have a team like that who's had bad seasons and have been able to draft at the top of the draft. And now you have currency, which is first-round picks. So you can go out and grab any of these superstars that you want, because you have one of these guys demanding a trade every week. It's insane.
Yeah.
There's no loyalty. It's just all rental. Like,
it's brutal. It's brutal for anyone to try and get into, because, like, if you don't actually follow the NBA and you don't really care that much, like, I'm one of those people that just genuinely, going to be honest, don't really care that much about the NBA and about basketball.
And all these players have so much power now because they can demand trades and get those trades now, that the most important thing you can do as a front office is acquire as many assets as possible. That's first-round picks, young talent, whatever. That's what you need to do to stay as relevant for as long as possible, because only one team's going to win a championship each year. And really, I mean, the league's done a lot better job of – like, being an open field, you don't really know who's going to win the championship. But really, there's no more than 5-6 teams realistically competing for a championship every year. And you could say that for a lot of sports too. But as long as you're staying relevant and, like, staying in the playoffs and have these assets that when the moment comes, you can trade for a superstar, that's the way to go. And that's what I really saw for the NBA trade deadline. That's the direction teams are going, because you saw, like, all these fringe players like Jay Crowder, who he's a nice piece to have on a championship team. He's not going to be a superstar or anything, and everybody knows that. They're going for 5 second-round picks now, like something crazy like that. It's like, okay, well, I have second round picks that I can trade now. You're definitely not going to get anything with them, but like if you have five of them, you might get a diamond in the rough, but you can definitely trade them away to get a nice role player at this point. The market's getting set, and I don't know. It's fascinating. That's why the NBA is such a storyline league, because there's so much to talk about, but really there's not that much to talk about because
only
a couple teams made themselves better to win a championship.
And it's the same. With the NBA, like, yeah, you have different teams that are getting better. And like their window, this is the outsider's perspective. Yes. Yeah, storyline league, all that, whatever. But like, it's still the same players. Like, it's the same stories and the same players, just in a different jersey. Like, these guys do the same thing everywhere they go, and you're like, okay, yeah, I've already seen it. Like, I've already seen this script before. Like, I've seen this movie. I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah, and what I really do not like about the NBA is, and this is definitely nothing I can change because it's something that's becoming more and more irrelevant, is like with all these superstars switching teams is. People don't have favorite teams, favorite NBA teams anymore.
Yeah, it's
they have
a
favorite
joke.
Players.
It's so
and
stupid.
That's crazy to me.
Fantasy,
I can't imagine.
I'm telling you, fantasy sports have completely ruined sports.
Cheer for the Laundry. Come on. Like, be a Bulls fan, guys.
It's why I don't play fantasy sports. It's completely ruined sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
This all started with fantasy. Like,
and in a league like the NBA, where you can see like one player have such an impact on the game, like probably more than any other sport, it does make sense that people have favorite players. It just still baffles me that they don't have favorite teams anymore. I don't know. They treat players like they are teams.
It's sad, but that's the NBA. Let's get into our segments now. Let's do that. Let's put a bow on this show, and we'll be back with some more next week. Do you have any questions for me, Kellen? I know we've kind of...
No, I don't have any questions this
discussed
week.
...discussed most of that. So let's go with some rapid fire here. LeBron James, like, the reason I can't watch the NBA, LeBron James broke the scoring record, whatever.
We didn't have to say that. I knew that happened.
He's a loser. He's such a loser. You stop the entire game to go and cry in the middle of the court and then drop an F-bomb. Like, come on. Get it together. He's just such a loser. It's pathetic.
Yeah, come on. Kids are watching LeBron.
And I just, F-bombs. I don't know. I can't stand it. I think it's a joke. So, anyway, let's get into segments. Where should we start? Let's start with who is your coach of the week, Kellen?
I got Andy Reid, Mr. Cheeseburger himself, second Lombardi trophy. You know what? You can dislike the Chiefs, all this stuff. Everybody loves Andy Reid. Everybody loves Andy Reid. He's so likable. Offensive guru. And I'm just happy for him. I am actually happy for Andy Reid. And he did it against his former team, too, which had to feel special for him.
I like that. My coach of the week is going to be, I got to be Matt Nagy. Just congrats. It was going to be Andy Reid. It's going to be Andy Reid, but Kellen said Andy Reid. So,
I should take Matt Nagy, my bad.
Matt Nagy, coach of the week. I don't need to beat that horse to death more than I already have. Where should we go next, Kellen?
Let's go tweet of the week. I got a good one here.
Okay, go, because I'm not ready yet. I got to find mine.
Okay, so my tweet of the week comes from Oklahoma State. They put out a tweet before the Super Bowl bragging about how the grass at Arizona Stadium was taken care of and tended to by Oklahoma State grads. And it turns out it was the worst field in Super Bowl history, and everybody hated it, and everybody was shitting on it the entire game. And they put out a tweet bragging about that. So that's my tweet of the week.
That was absolutely brutal. My tweet of the week was the one you sent me during the halftime show. Comes from Juju at I Heart You Juju. And it just, in all caps, is I just licked my TV screen. So that was funny.
Like, that's just That tweet sent me for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I was
me too.
Dying.
Me too. So I did love that. But all right, Kellen, who's your kicker of the week, Kellen? I'll let you first crack at this one.
Kicker of the week is Harrison Butker. I don't have to be reminded of the double doink anymore because it happened in the Super Bowl. So we don't have to ever talk about that ever again. So it happened in the Super Bowl, which is a bigger stage. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
what's crazy is my kicker of the week.
We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Okay, let's go get into my kicker of the week.
No, we don't have to because I think I know who your kicker of the week is. We don't have to. Wait, actually, Josh, wait, can I say something real quick? Let me say one thing real quick.
Because his double doink lost the game. The Chiefs still won the game. What did you need to say?
I just wanted to say something so that you would stop talking, but you already said it.
I'm done talking. Okay. Who's your player of the week?
You said the stuff that hurt my feelings. My player of the week. This sucks. This sucks. I'm never going to get. Why can't someone just doink a field goal to lose a Super Bowl? Please. That's not asking for too much. My player of the week is Kevin Durant. I don't care. Whatever. Nice. Stupid. Anyways. Wow. So, yeah, because he got out of Brooklyn, which I didn't think was that bad of a situation to begin with. But ring chasing, that's a Kevin Durant's forte. Big time. Who's your player of the week?
So
it's Cody Parkey.
Player,
I'm driving to Michigan and stabbing you in the heart with
it's Greg Olsen.
Icicle.
Don't worry. It's Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen is underrated. I love him.
And, well, guess what?
And he's getting kicked out.
Yeah, he's getting kicked off of the broadcast. Tom Brady is taking his spot. He's not only getting kicked off of the broadcast that everyone thought he did a great job on yesterday. He is now, his salary is going to drop from $10 million a year to $3 million a year. So he's getting a pay cut and getting kicked off the broadcast. Tough look for him.
Pressure's on Tom now. Tom has to be perfect because Greg Olsen was great. And he had good rapport with Kevin Burkhardt too. So
I hate Tom.
Pressure is on Tom. He won't be announcing next year, but the year after he said he starts.
I hate him.
Josh, we have, is that it? Oh,
fan base.
Wait, is it? Fan base of the week. Yeah. Who's your fan base?
My fan base of the week is golf fans, more specifically the fans that were all at the Waste Management Phoenix Open over the weekend, because that is one of my favorite golf tournaments to watch. And I would love, if the Steelers weren't playing in it, I would rather go to the Waste Management Open and sit on the 16th hole every single day than go to a Super Bowl. I'm just going to say it. It's a way more electric. It's a way drunker. It's a way more sports fan environment than the Super Bowl is and ever will be. So, and it's just golf. Golf fans. Golf is back. You get to take those like the weather starting to warm up in the Midwest. You get to take your golf naps on Sundays and watch someone lift a trophy. So it's fun. It's fun. Golf fans are my fan base of the week.
The Waste Management Tournament happening the same week as the Super Bowl is just to be absolute chaos in the Phoenix Glendale area.
It's so fun.
Yeah, I would love to go to that tournament one day. That does look electric.
Who's your fan base of the week?
My fan base of the week is I just had it. Oh, hypocrites. Hypocrites is my fan base of the week because if I ever hear a celebrity or anyone famous tell me to recycle or be better to the environment again, I am going to find where they live and shave their head bald. And if it's a guy, I'm going to rip their nuts off because that is absurd. After seeing the map of all the private jets that left Phoenix immediately following the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it's us. No, yeah, I threw that cup in the wrong bin. My bad. I thought I didn't see that it had a tiny little number 5 on it, which means I can't recycle it on Tuesdays in the month of February. But you flew a private jet across the country to stop in town for one day and then leave immediately and fly that private jet the other way, you're doing way more for the environment because mm-hmm. you're wagging your finger in my face. So if it's a girl, I haven't decided the punishment because I know they don't have nuts. Maybe I'll just, gouge their eyes out or something.
Nice.
Rip out their tongue because then they can't talk. It would have to be – the punishment has to fit the crime as well, I believe. Yeah. So
okay.
Rip out their tongue.
I like that. And on that note, that is our show. We will be back next week. So stay unbiased this week, and we will see you all next week.